Welcome. The following podcast is a production of the Center of Excellence in Elder Abuse and Neglect at the Program in Geriatrics at the University of California, Irvine. The center conducts training, advocacy, direct service, technical assistance, and research on issues related to the abuse and neglect of elders and adults with disabilities. This podcast series addresses cutting-edge research in elder abuse and neglect. Toomey, co-director of the Center of Excellence, and today our guest is Dr. Eileen Wigglesworth, assistant clinical professor and director of research at the Center of Excellence. We will be discussing two different bruising studies conducted by the Center of Excellence with funding from the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Institute of Justice. The original study is the first anywhere which examined characteristics of accidental bruising in the elderly population. The second study examined the characteristics of bruising in people 65 and older alleged to have suffered physical abuse. These findings can be used by professionals in healthcare, criminal justice, and social services. Welcome, Dr. Wigglesworth. What were the goals of the first study?
Bruising is probably physical evidence of abuse that one sees most, and yet you have prosecutors and juries and judges saying, oh, well, older people bruise. You can't really say that that's evidence of abuse. And yet, our work through the Vulnerable Adult Specialist Team and after that with the Forensic Center, we know that quite often you see some pretty horrendous bruising associated with abuse that doesn't necessarily get accepted in court as evidence. So my predecessors did the first study of bruising. In order to know what's bruising associated with abuse, you need to do a baseline first and know what's bruising that's normal in older adults. There are a number of things about being older that might are different than what you would find in children. By the way, there are studies of bruising in children, in child abuse, and some in domestic violence, not a lot.
What were they looking at specifically?
Dr. Carrie Burnite and Dr. Mosqueda and Dr. Liao did a study of bruising in older adults and normal older adults. And they found some interesting patterns. They found, for example, that 90% of bruises that happened accidentally were on the extremities, and they found no bruises that occurred accidentally on neck, ears, genitalia, buttocks, or soles of the feet. They looked at colors of bruises. They went back to see people that developed a bruise and followed them until resolution and found that colors were not indicative of the age of the bruise.
When you say that they followed the bruise in terms of the coloring of the bruises, I think that's a very interesting finding that we've all been taught that bruises go in a certain color staging and you can tell how old the bruise is, and it sounds like you're saying that wasn't the case. How did they follow those bruises?
The methodology was quite rigorous. They signed people up for their study and then went to see them every day. But the first day they went to see them, they charted all the bruises that were already there, and those were excluded from the study because they wanted to go back and find a new bruise and follow it to resolution. So that's what they did. And they might spend up to 6 weeks going back every day to see bruises. Oh, they found that the effect of medications, which is often spoken about, was not that great. People who took medications that the terminology is that they affect coagulation pathways, they might have multiple bruises, but they didn't have larger bruises. They were more likely to have multiple bruises.
So to summarize, it sounds like the main findings of the study on accidental bruising, the original study in older adults, were that color is not a good indicator of the age of the bruise, and that accidental bruising tends to take place in certain locations. Listeners, the results of the first bruising study were published in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society in 2005. A full citation for this article is available on our website at the Research tab. So the second bruising study focused on the size and location of bruises in people referred to the Center of Excellence by the local Adult Protective Services program because of alleged physical abuse. Can you talk a little bit about what that bruising study was about?
Yes, well, thanks to our good relationship with Orange County Adult Protective Services and their interest in this research, we were able to do a study unlike anyone else has been able to do, where we went out following the APS worker and talked to those who agreed to talk to us who were reported, alleged to have been physically abused. And so our research nurse recruited these folks and studied their bruises within 30 days of the physical abuse. That was what ended up being the cutoff.
How did you confirm that abuse had actually happened with the people referred to you by Adult Protective Services?
We validated physical abuse, not with APS data, but with an expert panel at which the APS worker testified or, you know, gave evidence along with our research nurse. So it was pretty good validation that physical abuse had occurred. So we recruited them, and she did a similar protocol. She didn't have to go back day after day. She just did all the things that were done on one day in terms of measuring and charting the bruises.
I know that I am sometimes surprised to find that I have a bruise when I have no memory of how I got that bruise. What were the findings around recollection of bruising?
That's the other finding I forgot to mention in the first study, which is that most of the bruises that were accidental, people could not recall getting them. They didn't remember them. And I forget what the numbers are, something like 25%. It's quite low what people remember. They'll have a bruise, but they can't remember how they got it. We asked people that were physically abused that same question.
And what was their response when you asked the people who were physically abused? Could they remember?
90% of the people who had been abused who had bruises could remember the cause of at least one bruise. And most of those, they told us, were inflicted.
So what were the findings of the second bruising study?
We compared the first group. The comparison group was the group from the first study with the accidental bruises with the people from the second group who had been physically abused. The findings were, first of all, that people who had been abused were far more likely to have, the majority of them had at least one bruise that was larger than 5 centimeters. And all of them had bruises that were at least 1 centimeter, whereas in the accidental group, a considerable number of them had bruises that were less than 1 centimeter. Their largest bruise was less than 1 centimeter, and only a small percentage of them had bruises over 5 centimeters. So bruises associated with abuse are larger.
What about the location of the bruises in physically abused elders?
The parts of the body where the people who were abused had bruises on the face and neck, significantly more than people who were not abused. And another area, which we're still considering, is the lateral surface of the right arm. The lateral surface is kind of the surface that is facing other people when you're standing. Or if you're resting your arm on your lap, it would be the surface that's upward most of the time. But we really don't know why this is. This is an interesting finding that we still don't know how to explain. The other areas are the posterior torso. More bruises were on the posterior torso in people who had been abused. So those were the findings. The findings were about the knowing the cause of the bruise and actually knowing that it had been inflicted. You can believe these people. This is a much more salient memory to receive bruises from abuse, physical abuse, than it is accidentally. That they're larger and that there are certain parts of the body that seem to be more likely to be affected. Though bruises associated with abuse can happen in any part of the body.
What are you hoping will happen with this information, or who are you hoping to reach? How do you hope that perhaps behavior might change as a result of knowing what we know now about bruising that we didn't know before in elders who are abused?
Well, I guess because we are medical folks here, not me personally, but we work in a geriatrics program, the first group we'd like to educate are doctors who see these things and who would be able to question people about abuse and to report abuse when they find it. But more than that, I would like doctors to and researchers to become expert witnesses in trials where this kind of evidence needs to be considered and taken seriously.
Our guest today was Dr. Eileen Wigglesworth, Assistant Clinical Professor and the Director of Research at the Center of Excellence in Elder Abuse and Neglect at the University of California, Irvine. For more information about the Center of Excellence or about research in elder abuse, please visit our website at www.centeronelderabuse.org. Again, that's www.centeronelderabuse.org. Thank you for listening.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart.